You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Well, everybody, you know the drill. Whenever a new person for the Scream Squad comes in, we have to watch the worst absolute dreck possible to initiate them.
Whoa, hey, don't get ahead of yourself, Justin, okay?
What?
The audience doesn't know how terrible this is yet, okay?
But also, to be fair, I didn't watch this because...
Yeah, we watched it. We watched it for you.
I cannot believe this, Justin. I cannot believe you didn't watch this fucking beaut.
Masterwork and the people who brought us the Jurassic Games.
Ooh.
Oh, man. No, so a little history for people who don't know this. Like I said, so this movie is American Hunt. And when I saw the email that it said from the makers of Jurassic Dead, for you people who know this, that was the very first review I ever did for Screener Squad. And that movie was a humongous pile of crap. So I avoided this like the plague. But somebody here, I'm not going to point fingers just yet, decided, hey, we should watch this. It'll be fun. And the lucky victims in this situation are London.
Hey, and this will also be my last show. Hey, great run, guys.
Ah! We also got Julian.
Hey, London, now don't leave with that noose. I'm going to use it right after you.
All right, I'll just...
Misery loves company, that's what they say. We got Bradley over here, too.
Hello. I don't have anything pretty to say.
Oh, like the movie.
Ooh, shit burn.
Last but not least, you got a new voice on here. It's Nick Diaz from Double Toasted.
Hey there, people. Yeah, Double Toasted, chat tag, all that good stuff. I'm over here being the only non-traditional reviewer that's probably going to say some shit that's going to piss you off because these guys seem to have already made up their mind on the quality of such beautiful filmmaking.
Cinema, we call it here, Nick.
Yeah, we ain't got them 50 to pay.
Everybody now. Anyway, who's brave enough to...
Cinema is a new word for hot garbage.
Who's brave enough to try and explain what the plot is of this, if there is any?
Thank you, Nick. That's so nice of you to volunteer.
Yeah, thank you.
I think he was volunteering and you interrupted him.
How dare you? This is so rude. No, man. Okay, so here's the thing. Look, and I know this is going to sound bad when I start this off, but, like, I think there's a little bit of stuff here that's left for you to kind of fill in as far as how true certain aspects of these characters are and their motivations. Like, it is an hour and 20-minute movie, you know? There's so many characters in here, too. There's going to be things missing, all right? I just want to put that out there. So don't judge me, goddammit. But from what I can gather from what literally happened on screen is that two guys who are perceived to be... I don't know if they're related or not. They act like they're brothers.
They're brothers.
It's revealed later on that maybe they aren't, but they don't really commit to whether or not they are or aren't. I'm not sure why.
They're two schmucks. All right. They're two schmucks that are somehow connected to each other. There you go.
But they're perceived to be counselors and or social workers. I mean, you know, whatever you want to call it. But the thing is, as they're being perceived to be that, the thing is, they sell body parts on the side to make money to keep their lifestyle of murdering afloat.
Wait, what?
Oh, yeah.
Does that make sense to anyone real quick? Selling body parts? Like, who are you selling that to?
Do they have the dark
I was going to say, can we not... What?
No, I'm just
saying, I picture somebody in, like, a back alley with a trench coat opening up, like, you boys want to buy a finger? Something like that?
Is there, like, some psycho guy who, like, is in love with Mr. Potato Head, and one day he thought, I wish this was real?
I mean, basically, this is Texas Chainsaw Massacre if one of the killers carried around a lucky toe and there was no script.
Okay, for anyone, all right, I know we're all keep jumping around, but I'm just going to do a quick synopsis. I'm sorry, I'm going to take it from you, Nick.
All right.
Two bumfuck hicks are, I use quotey fingers because they have no dialects, no southern dialects whatsoever. Well, anyways, two schmucks trick people into coming to the woods. They hunt them like they're animals, and then they sell their body parts for money. The end. All right, going. Okay, let's go.
Wow, you know that Lundus doesn't like something.
Well, the biggest thing, too, is that the way they do this is they lure these privileged friends by offering, like, a camping experience. So it's like some things I can imagine would actually probably work on some people. Because, like, dude, have you ever been, like, invited to go camping with somebody? Everything kind of sounds without the context of, like, dude, you're going to go fucking murder me. Like, you want me to go hang out with you in some, like, cabin with no other fucking people around? I'm not supposed to think for a second that you're going to kill me, but at the same time, people do it all the time in real life. So, like, part of this, I'm thinking, like, you know what? I might fall for that. I don't know. Maybe I'm in a good mood. Maybe I'm feeling very privileged, and I'm like, I want to hang out like the white people and get in tents and fucking have, like, ramen on an electric stove.
You're in a good mood, Nick, and you're privileged, and you have a four-month relationship with this person, okay? That is more than 90 days. If that's not trustworthy, I don't know what is.
You know what's funny is usually when people say that, oh, I'm going to go on a camping trip, you know, they tell their friends or family, they put on Instagram, they put on Facebook, and, you know, when, I don't know, when a couple months go by and notice that they haven't come back, you know, maybe people start raising questions.
Well, here's the thing, too, and I want to bring this up to Justin really quick, because I know you didn't watch the movie, but it's like, one of these things, like, everything we just said, I mean, and I like how London kind of, like, summed it up really, really easily, but I will say that I appreciate that the premise kind of, like, explains everything just within itself. Like, people ask, like, hey, well, why did you guys go out to camp? Well, there's a reason. Like, this particular guy who's killing people actually lured them in. Then it's like, okay, how did you get your hands on all these weapons and whatnot? It's like, yeah, because we're selling you motherfuckers to get the money to get the weapons. Like, the movie kind of explains itself, like, just in the
premise.
That
seems like a very bad business model, though. You're selling the parts of the people you kill to buy the weapons to cut the parts off the people that you kill to get more people you kill. That seems like a very short-sighted business plan in the long run.
You're guys, right, but, I mean, describing this is killing my brain cells.
I don't think I'm supposed to make a stroke.
I can sell a whole thing of your brain cells for $8,000, apparently, Julian, if we're going by this fucking script.
Okay, so I get this is terrible from the sense that everyone's talking about, but I want to hear some very succinct descriptions why it's terrible. Tell me some of the stuff that makes this gloriously terrible.
Alright, I guess I'll start. Sorry, I'm having a stroke. Let me rub that off. First of all, this comes across as made by people who are like who watch horror films and go, "Man, that character's fucking stupid. What they should have done is this." And there's like milliseconds of parts where you're like, "Oh, look at that. That's storytelling. That's some filmmaking." Surrounded by an hour and 19 minutes of, Jesus Christ, guys, someone take an acting class. Because there, and also someone needs to learn how to read and write, because there's no script here. Like, I refuse to believe it. Like, I'm sorry if whoever wrote this hears this. Back to the drawing board, bro. You break it, you write a story, you break it up into scenes, you break down the scenes, and you fucking write dialogue for them. I don't know any of these characters by the end of it. I wish I had something positive to say about this. The camera was even shitty that they used.
I can tell you exactly who made this movie, too, by the way. The person's name is Aaron Mirtiz, and pretty much their entire career is nothing but schlocky, terrible direct-to-video horror films, because they were the writer, director, and producer of the movie Clowntergeist.
Clowntergeist, my god, that title
gave me another stroke.
You know what's sad? Just because I saw this movie, I can actually picture how that movie is.
Oh, and they also directed the 2020 vice presidential debattle, because clever, right?
Okay, another stroke. I'm thinking I'm dead. Okay.
But here's the thing, though. Last year, you guys liked The Nun. The fucking director of this did Curse of the Nun, and I want to watch that fucking movie. Okay, fuck the Conjuring universe. I want Curse of the Nun.
The Nun was the worst, one of the worst things I saw last.
Oh wait,
year.
Are nuns even known for curses? That doesn't sound right.
Well, you guys are cursed at the Nun. This Curse of the Nun. It's gonna curse back at your ass. I love this.
Okay, but yeah, right. So you're saying that pretty much all the actors are off on this, like you're saying, right?
I think that it's the acting comes across as bad because it's edited really poorly. This is one of those movies that every single shot should have been cut like 10 seconds before it does. It's just bad editing.
Yeah, I agree with that too.
And the screenwriting. I'm sorry, my bad. Go ahead, man.
the screenwriting is really bad. I mean, there's so much expository dialogue. And here, you know what? I'm actually going to give you an example of bad foreshadowing. Okay. So I don't know their names. So boyfriend character,
says, Levi. His name's Levi.
Levi
other boyfriend character. I don't know.
Oh, that's one, right. There was another boyfriend character.
Okay, boyfriend character two. And
he was Owen?
His name was Owen.
Owen, okay. Well,
there's only six characters, man.
Okay, fine. Owen, boyfriend. Okay, good. Yeah, anyway, he asks how his girlfriend's doing. I think her name's Kim. And she's like, you know, she's sleeping. Like, oh, I'll be okay as long as she's not forced to hunt. Later, within five more minutes, they go to the campsite. And then they're all, then the, was it Levi? He's like, hey, let's all go hunting. And then she's like, I don't want to. And then Kim's like, I don't want to hunt. And then everyone acts surprised, including her boyfriend, who she told that she didn't want to hunt beforehand. And then they ask her, why don't you want to hunt? And then he also reiterates, well, she doesn't like killing animals. Couple problems there. If he already knew, why was he surprised when he said, I didn't want to hunt? And if she already knew why she didn't want to hunt, why did he already say, oh, she doesn't want to kill animals? So there's two things that already don't coordinate.
So, yeah, what is she even doing on this camping trip?
In that particular situation, I feel like what they're trying to do is let you know, like, hey, you know what? Like, Brooke is the person who's dating Memphis, and the main evil fuckface or whatever.
No, I think she was dating Levi.
It was Levi, my bad.
No, that's accurate. Evil fuckface, continue.
But the thing is, though, is that, you know, with most of these kind of movies, you're going to assume that the girl who is like, oh my god, like, a wool was over my eyes. I didn't know my boyfriend was a fucking serial killer. You're just assuming that she's going to win at the end. And the thing is, like, the movie does change some things around where it's like, you know what? Like, Kimberly, you probably expect her to die right away. And I'm not going to tell you exactly what particularly happens unless you guys are going to spoil this shit. But the thing is...
I will tell you if you don't, Nick.
But the thing is, Kimberly is not a character who is just for a body count. Like, I mean, whether or not she dies, which, you know, we'll reveal that later. But the thing is, though, is that, you know, there's more to Kim. And even though, like, yeah, as you're saying, like, why did he ask her that question, et cetera? It's like they're trying to kind of pull the wool over our eyes because they don't want to be so insulting with, like, yeah, it's so obvious this is going to happen. Believe it or not, they kind of, like, throw a couple things in there where I'm like, you know what? Will she die? Will she survive? Like, I didn't know for a bit there, dude. Like, I really did not predict this.
Yeah, okay. But the thing is that it's written so badly, Nick, that, like, Allison's shroom, this character Brooke, like, her being, like, seeing her boyfriend say, I brought you here to kill you. And she's like, he didn't mean that, did he? It's like, bitch, he pointed a gun at you.
Like, he's starting now. Yeah,
it's supposed to be that she's in denial, but because her acting is so bad that you don't buy it.
I'm not being cruel, but I think that her acting wasn't that great, but combined with the bad structure of the scenes and the dialogue written, it's just, what's that math thing again? Oh, yeah, an equation. Yes, it equals to dumb movie doing stupid thing, showing a lot of ketchup. Ketchup? Like, the ketchup budget for this is, that's probably the best thing I have to say about this. Lots of ketchup.
The violence. Yeah, I want to point out the violence very quickly becomes kind of silly. Like, the film opens. I don't know how you saw any tension in this because the film opens with Levi and Memphis killing someone, and then, you know, in the next 5 minutes, Levi is like, "Here's my girlfriend." So I'm already thinking, oh, okay, they're going to kill all these people.
Yeah, the movie opens as monkey without a script.
Well, it's an ape mask, but.
That's a deep cut reference for the audience to look into, Bradley, okay? For those of you who don't know.
I actually did find a deep cut in this, and I went, but I don't know if I meant the deep cut.
Like the cut around the neck.
He leads over to Memphis, and he says, all right, we're going to hunt these people, but no funny games.
Okay.
I actually went,
But the point I was trying to make why I said monkey without a script is, if you guys don't know, I made a movie in college called Monkey with a Gun. So I found this personally offensive. I'm sure that he saw your college video and was like, oh, that was a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
I bet he did.
Point I lost along the way. Sorry. Someone like gets gravely injured and then they just put a scarf on that shit and she's fine. And I thought that was pretty silly.
Bring up though too is like, okay, so because someone brought up the fact that, you know, when a movie starts off, it's not very tense, right? Brad Belemjian, I think that's his name. He plays Memphis. He's like the skinnier, scary, like, just, he's like all over the fucking place. And I gotta tell you, like, this dude, I feel like he was a little subservient to Levi, who's played by Taylor Novak. And I was like, you know what? This movie, just as I was watching it, and didn't know the build, the cast, or anything, and I was like, oh yeah, Memphis is going to be the main bad guy. And the fact that he's subservient to this other person was actually pretty surprising to me, too, because I felt like these two guys are going to go at each other, too. And, you know, just like with, like, you know, dinosaur movies or monster movies, I like seeing two, you know, particularly bad things that are dangerous had to go at each other for some particular purpose. And that was something that always had me at the edge of my seat, too, where I'm like, I mean, not edge of my seat, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's situations where I'm like, oh, shit, like, this is where something's going to go down, and it didn't go down, but the fact that I was expecting it was pretty cool.
But that's the thing, Nick, is all these characters are really flat, and the movie doesn't have what you're talking about, doesn't have a purpose. There's no point to this. It's just some guys who are jerking off one day going, man, we can make a scarier movie than this. Let's put a movie where we put scissors in a girl's pocket, and she gets stabbed, and then she stabs another guy, and then he doesn't feel it. It'll be fucking scary.
Okay, Nick, okay, I have to. Okay, here's the thing: the two main villains, Levi and Memphis. I didn't buy that any of them could be the dominant one because they're both played by extreme dorks. I don't buy like they're out in the backwoods and yet they sound like film festival nerds. I
would have to say, like, if I could say one positive about this, like, the guy who was clean cut and, like, 6 foot, he came across as the dominant one, not the scraggly fucking herpagana
the guy with the list
guy.
Really? Really?
I'm
going to trust you.
Wasn't it shocking how many scenes that guy Memphis came in? He's like, hey, I'm covered in blood. What's up, guys? And everyone's just like, oh, hey, how you doing? And nice shirt. Get that from
how did that even happen to him most of the time? Does he, like, just carry around a can of blood and pours it on himself?
No, ketchup, obviously.
Ketchup.
Right.
Ketchup. Yeah, maybe it wasn't blood, yeah.
Yeah, they just didn't. Oh, and actually, speaking of things that offended me. speaking of the beginning.
Offensive.
In the beginning, they broke the 180 rule and crossed the line.
Oh, not the 180 rule.
Yep.
They did. Can you explain a little bit? Because I'm not the most traditional reviewer, but like, what is the 180 rule?
It's when you establish like the camera from one angle, and then you cut back and forth, and then you cross like a line. Like, imagine the camera is on a circle, Nick, and it can go 360 degrees, and you cross like, and it's at the 90 degree point, and you cross like 90 degrees from there.
Yeah, okay. It's okay. With less math, okay, one character's on the right, another character's on the left. And then all of a sudden you switch them, so you switch the perspectives. You don't know who's the one wasn't person supposed to be on the other side's on the opposite side.
Yeah, and that happened a lot by the tent. Right. That was,
exactly.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole thing with spatial awareness problem there. But I mean, that sounds disorienting already just hearing that.
Yeah.
It's the art.
To Julian's point too, in that particular scene when that was happening, and I don't know if like I don't know how big this team is. I don't know what the budget is. I don't know a lot about this movie at all. The only thing I knew was the stuff that Justin Zarian told me, which by the way, I appreciated. But the thing is though, is that whole scene was so like I mean, when people edit, the idea about editing is that you edit so much footage to where when you do the crossfade and you have like one layer underneath another, the audio still stays within the area. You'll just hear like the sound of nature just. And it'll just
oh
snap.
No!
Yeah, it'll snap, and then it's not there for like a fucking like 20 frames, and then like at the end of that particular millisecond, whatever, it goes back, and you're like, "Wow, I just saw the cut." Like you just like audio wise, you're not even having the same equipment right now.
Okay, that is some amateur hour crap. There, they're capturing still like all the background like foliage sound effects and nature sound effects. That's really bad.
Yeah, that was funny.
Everything about this screams amateur hour. But the thing is if the script in this was really good, we would be like kind of impressed and on the fence with this because be like, hey, like it was entertaining to watch. Like there was good jokes, but it had none of that. It took itself really seriously. They thought they were making something badass, and it's just ass. Not good or bad, just regular.
We've been talking a lot about these particular characters. One thing I want to bring up is that this older guy, and I've seen him before. I don't know where I've seen him at, but David Ditmore.
David Ditmore.
Yeah, he plays Pastor Green. And the thing is, they mention him, and this is the one thing I don't like about, like, you know, where they kind of give you a hint that something's going to happen, like a forecast, whatever the fucking word or phrasing of it.
Foreshadowing,
yeah. But, like, randomly, like, they're by a campfire, and it's like, oh, I went to Pastor Green's, and I, like, did a prayer. And one guy's like, what the fuck? And he's like, oh, I'm just joking, bro. And I'm like, okay, well, now you mentioned Pastor Green. I know he's going to show up in this movie. Because if he doesn't, then that was the dumbest shit ever.
Well, they introduced him at the beginning, Nick. Like, yeah. That was, like, one of the most awkward introductions. Hey, Pastor Green, I'm leaning out the car to talk to you, character behind the camera I'm looking at right now.
Yeah. Honestly, that was so obnoxious. I thought that was the, like, that actor, I thought that was a house that they used. Like, they only use in the movies because, like, hey, can we use your house? Like, yeah, if I could be in the movie, okay, sure.
Thank you, Mr.
Wouldn't
Green.
It have been... Wouldn't it have been awesome if Pastor Green was the murderer and, like, he just, like, got stilts and, like, a double-sided machete and, like, Darth Mauled the fuck out of everyone? God, where's that movie, guys? The fuck on that? Yeah. Well, why the fuck not? Get the fat guy on stilts. On the point of fat guy on stilts, please, Nick.
Hey, I'm a fat guy. I'm not on stilts yet, but this is why I feel so, like, passionate about this particular character. Here's the thing, man. That fucking guy, look... the fact that you're even like, dude, wouldn't it be cool if he did this? And it's like, dude, for a second, we thought he was going to do that. Like, when she's in the room and she's like, kind of like, and we're not saying which character it is, but like, there's a character that's stuck in a room in his house. And I mean, you know that he's not going to be the hero of it all, but they kind of do something with that. And they're like, okay, he's definitely going to be like the bad guy. He's going to do some shit. They don't go like predictable with him. Like, right now, what you were saying, Julian, I was like, oh, they're going to do that. He's going to do some crazy shit, or he's going to be some pervert. He's going to do something. No. It's none of that. And it's like, dude, thank you. Thank you for not being that typical horror movie who makes the fat old guy a fucking pervert or something. Like,
no, you don't make him a pervert. You make him just a dumbass.
No, yeah, okay, no, first of all, okay, yeah. Well, he does do something pretty creepy later on. And he has some things that makes him seem like, okay, maybe he might not be in this situation, but he probably has done some things in the past.
So you're saying you don't have rope in your backseat?
Okay, so just spoiler, yes. Who the hell has
I do think that was the most interesting thing to your point, Nick. He's the most interesting character in this film. Because, like, ooh, creepy church person who prays to God. What sort of sick mind does he have? And then, oh, surprise, that's just a typical churchy person. So that was an interesting thing to think about, I suppose.
Well, I'm sure that actor's very happy to hear you say that, because he's going to be in the next two movies this guy's going to direct. There's going to be two more stuff that's coming out this year. So,
Pastor Green, the movie?
Well, the actor. I'm not sure the character, but David Diddmore will return for two more movies by Aaron Mirchez.
Or the origins of Pastor Green.
David Diddmore will return in Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Yeah, Pastor Green.
Since we're talking
Pastor
about
Soylent Green.
I eat that.
No,
the doubting.
On the idea of that you're doing a Marvel type thing with him and him being basically the new Thanos. So here's the thing. I was reading our chat because we have a private chat, people that are listening to this, and I don't know if it was Julian or Bradley or somebody, but you guys brought up that there is a bunch of scenes in the post-credit scenes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So did they... Was it important for those to be in here? Because I didn't watch those. Dude,
are you kidding me? Are you kidding me, Nick? The movie would not be the same without all that lore. Everything building up. I felt like a fisherman, like, with all this stuff on the line. I was like, look at this lore. Look at this bait. It's doing nothing. I should just fucking throw my fishing rod into the river and drown myself. That would be way more compelling.
Okay, I'll be honest. We saw this today. I remember two post-credit scenes. I can't for life remember the third one. I remember the first two. Exactly. I don't remember. I'm like, because I remember we had like, there's two post-credit scenes because I was watching. Like, this is, why are there two? This doesn't make sense. And then one of you guys said three. I'm like, there's three? What? I don't remember the third one.
So the final post-credit scene is with a character we've never seen before. In the snow.
That's right.
Oh, damn.
I thought I imagined that or something. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it was so bad you thought part of it was a hallucination. That's amazing.
Yeah, I did. I was like, did I remember it wrong? Like, I was thinking one of the characters looked like someone else, and it's just that happened in the movie. Oh, Jesus.
Fucking London's acting like fucking bees gone, like, oh, fuck, shit. God.
I wish that this movie would have, like, gotten me high like it got you, London. Like, it didn't give me a fever dream or anything. Just a fucking headache.
That's soon enough. What was it? What's the movie we saw, Justin? Tiger?
Escape from Tiger Mountain or something like that? Or?
Yeah, I had that same. Sometimes I kind of just go into a daze and I don't know what happens anymore. And I thought that maybe that's
your doctor about this.
Yeah, he told me to leave. Yeah, I did. He told me to quit reviewing movies.
Yeah, there should be a surgeon's general warning on the cover of this movie. Warning, do not watch if you're pregnant. It'll give you AIDS.
I will say.
We should start winding down to final thoughts. But man, I think I'm more entertained listening to this than I would be actually watching the movie.
Possibly, because here's the biggest thing about the movie too. As I kind of like move towards the final thoughts of it all, the thing is, like, the movie I felt was okay as far as like tension and everything goes, and that's subjective, and I'm sure people are gonna be mad about that. But I think it all kind of goes shitty when like the cockiness of one guy ends up being like, you know, the situation that makes the good guys kind of like escape or do whatever they're gonna do, and then like the craziness of the other guy. It's like I feel like it was a very like just like typical of a horror movie or a B horror movie, and it was like, oh shit, like you guys were kind of going somewhere where even though it's cheap and it's budget, and Julian, you're talking shit about like, dude, the cameras and this and that. I'm like, well, they don't got a lot of money, man. Like I want to make a movie, okay, and I'm gonna guarantee you it's gonna be shitty. Like, you know,
yeah, but they could. If you're
Nick, did you help make this movie?
I did not. I honestly though, if like they're making it, like, hey Nick, you want to be part of it? I'm like, yeah, I'll be the dumb fuck who goes around collecting $8,000 teeth. Sure, I'll be that guy.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, I would happily have been in this movie, but like when I read the script, I would have been like, guys, I'll do this and I'll read what you wrote, but we should rewrite this because spoilers, this sucks.
Yeah, you feel concerned when you got to page.
I will rewrite the script. Okay, I will do it. If you want to get it done, I will rewrite it.
Bradley, I would feel concerned as soon as I looked at the title. Oof, American Huntsman. Bad touch already.
Oh, not even Huntsman, yeah. Just Hunt.
American Hunt. Yeah. I bet you on page 5 it says, I don't know, man, writing's hard.
I will say, at the end of the day, when I'm looking at a movie like this, it's a B movie, so already I'm thinking, like, dude, okay, quality-wise, this is going to be something that's worth, like, maybe, like, $2 if I actually decide to pay for something like this. And the thing is, like, the only thing that matters to me when it comes to watching movies is being entertained. I just want to spend $1 to $15 in between there and just have a good time. And with something like this, if it was free, and by the way, people, we're the Screener Squad, the shit was free. So I had a good time for what it was. I didn't feel robbed. I didn't feel like someone stole anything from me, especially time. It's a short movie. It's not insulting with keeping you at your seat for fucking ever. And I think that, yeah, like, if you just want a movie to happen in the background. And by the way, too, like, I mean, I don't know if we're going to talk about spoilers, but let's just pretend that we're not. The end has a twist and is an effective twist.
No, it's not.
I think that it's
doesn't.
It's a certain twist where, honestly, like, yeah, I mean, there's only so many characters, so, like, if I gave you, like, 10 guesses, you'd get it, like, in the fourth guess, but...
Nick, do I need to bring out the math stuff again?
Listen, Nick's trying to get hired by the film production crew, okay?
Don't hire anybody, clearly.
This is an audition.
Don't hire anybody. I need to eat.
God.
I give this movie 5 $8,000 sets of teeth out of 10.
5! Wow.
It's an excellent movie. But it's good. I had fun.
Well, all right. Who wants to go next? God, Nick likes rubbing turds in his eyes, I guess. Fucking Christ.
Fresh.
Yeah, fresh manure from the forest. Okay. Look, man. I have seen some motion pictures in my time. I have seen some cinema. This is some best of the worst shit that has no redeeming qualities. Like, I live for bad shit. Cats is the best movie of 2019 and any decade that has ever happened, okay? But Jesus Christ, like, watching movies like this, I find it frustrating because on the second day of the shoot, whoever's directing this, like, you must have been fucking kicking a can around that fucking forest. Go, God damn it, I'm making a piece of shit. Like, weren't you fucking annoyed? Because, like, everything, every moment, it was like, wow, how unnatural did that dialogue feel right there? Like, oh, look at this character's motivation. It's non-existent. I wish I had positive things to say about this. I wish this was even fucking color corrected so I could say that moments I liked. You know what? There was one silhouette shot of the not monkey with a gun walking into frame.
Yeah, ape.
We're not getting into this right now, Bradley. I give this one epilogue I never needed to see out of 10. All right. Well, Bradley, why don't you go? We can give London the final bow on this one.
I thought it was pretty bad, but nowhere near the worst I've ever seen. I like that it was short. It cuts so fast to the point because I don't think it has one. And there's a lot of meaty stuff to chew on in stories about hunting people, you know, from Richard Connell's The Most Dangerous Game back in the 1920s to just a couple years ago, You're Next. There's like real themes and thought into the idea of hunting a person. And I know what y'all thinking, like, it's a B-movie, Brad. Why would they put any thought into it? I think that that's how you become a sensation, is you put thoughts into stuff, right? I mean, correct. This didn't have to be a boring movie that wasn't about anything. It's technically not even about survival. We don't even know these people. Do we care if they live or die? I don't know. But like I said, this is nowhere near the bottom of the barrel for me and my screener squad experience. So I'm going to give this 3 ape masks on 10 non-Southern jackasses.
Yeah. Which, hey, I mean, yeah, talking about bottom of the barrel, I mean, I think you saw Awake With Me, right, Brad?
No, I was able to avoid that.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to say, I've seen stuff this year that was pretty bottom of the barrel, so this has to be pretty bad if it's going to top that. I'm just saying. But last but not least, London, go ahead.
All right. I actually wrote it down.
you wrote down your thoughts for this
one. Listeners for Screener Squad, just listen. He wrote a poem about this movie. That's how good it is. So, London, go ahead. Let's hear.
Okay. American Hunt is an intense combination of incompetence, laziness, low production, and just plain misery. Seriously are two different things than taking a serious tone. And redundancy and awkward dialogue performed by amateur actors makes this below 90-minute movie feel like the length of an epic feature. There is, of course, more to be said about the atrociousness that we witnessed, but I have decided to refrain and instead just let the movie fade away from my memory. Much like how the filmmakers let their perseverance fade during the production. And I've actually changed my rating due the course of this review, and I'm going to change it to 1.5 reasons why Nick is wrong out of 10.
Hey, you've learned the ways of dealing with Nick Diaz. Yay.
Aaron Mertes, I'll be watching your next movie, sir.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have a poem that I just wrote. Roses are red, violets are blue. Aaron Mertes, what the fuck is wrong with you?